Welcome to the morning, everyone. Welcome to Good Morning.
Welcome to Critical Ditto. I guess it's a morning show. I'm your host, Stuart Clark, and good morning to you all. We've got some very exciting segments coming up today on the programme. The first of which is going to be introduced here by our first guest, Ali Hill, who's come
Hello.
To show us...
Hello.
What have you got for us today on Morning Critical Ditto?
I, inspired by the culinary genius of Brooklyn Beckham, am going to show you how to make a jam sandwich.
Okay. Nice.
So yes. And
what's the twist?
Well, the twist is that I'm going to do it in the style of my character that I play on a very famous podcast called Critical Ditto. I'm going to do it as the character of Kenny Mullett, who is a very empathetic young man on a quest to save the world. Right, so what you want to do is you want to get some bread, or as Kenny calls it, his Pokemon. And I've chosen...
That tracks.
I have chosen the Decidueye flavoured. I can't go with Decidueye flavoured. Decidueye branded bread, otherwise known as Bowtie. The jam is a sort of amalgamation of all his other Pokemon. Oh, this is getting so bad.
Just nice.
I've just been blended into a jam.
Yeah. So to just remind you of the flavours, we've got a Gyarados called Moustache.
You don't want to see how the sausage is made.
A Honchkrow called Fedora, a Salandit called Hoops, a Spiritomb called Swirly, a Galvantula called Fleek, and a Kamoa called King Thrush. And you just want to spread Kenny's Pokemon in between
You're calling this a jam, Ali, but it looks more like a sort of supersized me McDonald's flurry. Like, what is this?
Well, that's Sunday breakfast, Stu.
Okay,
that's treat breakfast.
I see.
Yeah, this is like a good weekday breakfast. I'm just going to have a little taste. Tastes not so bad. Well, who's this new guest we've got joining us at this disgusting round table?
Well, they've got to try the sandwich. That's part of the segment, obviously.
You do, of course.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Ooh, crunchy. Sort of terrine-like, you know?
Yeah.
Like sort of a pate.
That's the Gyarados.
Ah, marine. Hello, everyone. I'm here sitting talking to our special interest guest today. I'm David Leavesley, and social affairs reporter. And I'll be speaking to a cult member who wonders, is polyamory legal in the fictional land of Formia? Because that's what Theo's been asking for the last four seasons. But when Theo isn't thinking about which bespectacled and emotionally stunted character they might be able to form a lasting relationship with, they're also thinking about the six Pokemon that come along with them on their journey. So that is a Medicham, a Kabuto, a Leavanny, a Barbaracle, a Slowpoke, a Combi, and that's it. I got it right. I actually got it right for once. Oh my God, this is a big day. It's almost as big as our final segment. I can only imagine what Tom Dale's got to close out this episode with.
Well, in all morning show traditions, don't we end with what people are wearing? Is that a thing? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know, Tom. I'm not watching the morning shows to know.
Not sure, mate. I was absolutely convinced that Tom would come dressed in black and be in the morning show. That's 100% where I thought Tom was going to go.
Oh, so Ali's out Tom.
Tom.
I'm actually going to go very standard and say, welcome to what people are wearing segment. So if you're a cheerleader of the Pokemon League, but you want to be a Pokemon champion, you become an ex-cheerleader of the Pokemon League. Just like Brandy here. Now let's look at what Brandy's wearing here. She's wearing, well, she was wearing an Infern cape, but now she's wearing six Pokeballs. And inside those Pokeballs are Wimpy the Lopunny, Gary the Drapion, Snorlioni the Munchlax, she's got Flower the Meltan, she's got Dr. Bunnelby PhD, and Lightning McQueen the Carcole. What a hot look for this year.
Very tastefully placed, Pokemon those Pokeballs.
And how about, oh God, everyone looks really depressed. Why is everyone wearing black?
Because we are mourning the end of this show. This is the final episode.
Oh, this is the last episode.
Yeah.
And we ended with my segment. Oh, lovely. I'm honoured.
That was the grand finale.
I feel
finale.
Like I should have... Oh,
guys,
well.
can you remember all the best bits from previous episodes?
Previously on Critical Ditto. The Sofloatzels and the Special Defenders find themselves in the Pokemon League main stadium, set out as a water biome. Everything seems calm until a gas starts creeping along their feet and burning at their throats. It turns out that Luan, Blarb, and Farb have been captured in X Extreme Balls by the League and are being used alongside the Extreme Ball Pokemon as defense methods. Luan, Blarb, and Farb don't have long left. Special Defenders try to defend themselves against Luan's gas while not harming the people inside. Hannah allows her emotions to get the better of her, remembering the O'Hara incident and the death of her parents, and almost kills Luan before Kenny stops her and tells her that she can still be a hero. General Phillips informs everyone that with the League under lockdown, they're going to need three keys from each of the elite three members of the Pokemon League in order to open the Blast Shield doors. Getting to Tyler seems especially pressing, seeing as he has control over all the Extreme Ball people and Pokemon, and is the only means of releasing them. The team divides up, with Brandy going after Pokemon champion Gary Smoke, Kenny going towards Margo's Roost, and Theo going after Tyler himself. We rejoin our heroes as they head towards their respective battlefields. Kenny, Hannah, and Hedrol's faces are intermittently illuminated by passing lights as they ride the ascending elevator. The unseen motors that power the device hum diligently, thankfully unaffected by the chaos and ruin blighting the rest of the Pokemon League. Outside the windows of the glass box in which you ride is a true bird's-eye view of the rest of the League, a perspective removed from the suffering below, indifferent to the struggles of smaller creatures. From here, the blue-eyed Tranquil convulsing mid-air and plummeting with a crash through a window could be ignored by simply moving your gaze upwards towards your destination.
"Would make for a great front-page spread," Hedrold mutters.
He moves his camera towards his eye before Hannah shoots him a glare.
"Shut up, Hedrold. I'm in the scenes too, so I can..."
"Yeah, no, I love this. Yeah, please interject, Ali." although my next line is, "There's a moment of silence." So let me just delete that. Hang on. Kenny says...
"I always enjoy our repartee.
Imagine if this ride never ended."
"Oh, that's bleak."
"What do you mean, Hannah? I don't think we're going to break down or anything. This is, you know, the elevator's working. It's all good."
No, I just mean... I feel like we haven't stopped for months."
"Well, I mean, the elevator's not been that long."
"But it's quiet. It's calm, you know, Kenny?"
And you can see that Hannah's still shaking a bit, like after this encounter that she's had with Luan.
"I don't necessarily want it to end. It's almost like we're in a dream that I don't want to wake from just yet."
"The elevator or like the whole quest thing?"
"I guess immediately the elevator, but it kind of extends, you know? Have you ever had that feeling before, Kenny?"
"I kind of know what you mean. We're doing what we're doing so that the rest of our lives can be as good as they can be. This is just a really, really difficult hurdle to climb before we actually live. This is so that we can live."
"So what are we doing right now?"
"We are ascending an elevator to get a key."
"Kenny, I understand the mission. I just mean, if you're saying that we're doing it so we can live, are we not living now?"
"Not everyone is, Hannah. A lot of people are living in fear. Do you call that living?"
"And then you're there."
"I sometimes live in fear of mistakes in my editing. My dream, proofreading forever. Oh, no, the door's opened. Okay."
The elevator doors part. Margo's Roost is dark, and the smell is one of disrepair. It's musty, like an old, ill-tended attic room, dust raising with every step. It's certainly a unique battle arena, like an extended aviary, a wooden birdhouse expanded to the size of a football field, but with an open roof and seating towers that surround the skies above like a Quidditch field. The floor is covered with nesting material, and as you venture further, the unmistakable scent of predatory bird fills the air, discarded carrion and excrement left uncleaned for days, contributing to the acrid atmosphere. Various perches jut from the wooden timber that comprises the walls of the aviary, only these perches house no bird Pokemon. Instead, they're swamped with web. Vast, silky strings strung in intricate patterns hang from every buttress. The light of the moon shines palely through the open rafters and catches the webby tendrils as they sway softly in the delicate breeze. In the centre of the room is what looks like a cocoon. Something or someone has been wrapped entirely in webbing. It looks like it's moving slightly. What do you do?
"This is one of the most grotesque things I've ever seen. Can I check a place out?"
"Sure. How are you doing that? What are you physically doing?"
"I'll send a Pokemon out to do like a kind of perimeter
recce
sweep." Yeah.
"All right. Great.
We're in an aviary. I'll send out Honchkrow."
"Honchkrow!"
"Makes sense. Okay, so Honchkrow's going to have a little fly around, look around. Anything in particular that you want Honchkrow to check out?"
"I think try to get sort of as good a reading on that pulsating nightmare
cocoon
fuel
thing
in the middle."
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, roll. I guess let's roll just check a place out, but with like a Hontricro assist. So
yeah, sure.
That would be your sharp.
It is sharp, but it's my weird because it's the old weird insight for Ken Dog.
A very useful move.
I think I've used that more than I've used anything other than random poker powers.
When was the last time we saw your sword and shield, Ali?
Hey. Well, exactly. Where? Oh, my God, oh, my man, sword and shield.
Oh, those are the days.
Mate, you know what? Thanks for reminding me, Stu. That'll come out at some point.
He's just going to do it now.
Do it right now.
Do it right now.
Checking the place out. Please roll.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad I'm a +3 because I've rolled a 4. So +3 takes it to a 7.
Ooh. So you get one question.
I get one question. Okay. Kenny was expecting an aviary, but wasn't necessarily expecting this in the aviary. Yep. So I guess what happened here recently is probably... And if you say a cocoon propped up
cocoon
in this aviary,
was made.
I'm going to kill you.
What happened here recently? Just describe to me physically what you're doing as Hontricro is sort of flying around.
As in what Hontricro's doing or what I'm doing as Kenny?
Both of you.
Kenny says, Hannah, Hedrold, I'm going to look through Hontricro's eyes to get a better look. Could you just keep an eye out in case there's anything sort of nearby it tries to attack us?
Sure, Kenny.
Puts a hand on Hannah's shoulder and eyes go black and sees through Hontricro. So Kenny goes into that kind of...
We're doing
state
that walking
that he does,
thing.
Where he walks through. Yeah.
Like you did with Bowtie.
Bowtie, exactly. Hontricro, on the other hand, I think they're a crow. Maybe they see, they go towards the pulsating mass of something, but I think they see something maybe shiny that takes their attention. If you want, Stu, I can give you that as a hook.
Okay.
Something glints off the, are we at night or is it daytime?
It's kind of nighty, yeah. The moon, I think I said the moon shining in, yeah.
So something glints, the moon glints off something and just takes a Hontricro's attention.
Okay, maybe they see some kind of bird toy that has been left in the aviary that, you know, when they do bird shows, there's the bells. They have the bells, don't they? That some of the falcons and the eagles respond to. So maybe just one of these bells starts ringing somewhere deep within the aviary, in the shadows, in a bit that's not illuminated by the moon. And Hontricro's flying around, Hontricro, keeping an eye out. And then this shiny... magical bell moment catches its eye. And Hontricro thinks for a minute and thinks, I could keep circling as Kenny's instructed, or I could investigate this special thing that's caught my eye. And Kenny, you see Hontricro disappear into the shadows. Hontricro! In a flash of black feathers. And then you hear this clicking noise. And the web starts to move around you. And then a face appears next to Hontricro, suddenly peering into the moon. It appears nose first, mouth, eyebrows, a horned helmet. Well, 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 what do we have here? The face of Vaughn?
What? Hello, okay, all right, tell
and
me more.
As the face appears through the shining light, that head... That decapitated head is attached to an enormous Ariados body.
Oh my god.
God, this is nightmare fuel. What Tim Burton thing was Stu watching?
An extra meal has flown into my roost. That's right. It's me.
Kenny through Hontricro, having never met Vaughn, goes, who the hell is this guy?
News just in. Humans come in all shapes and sizes and will not judge.
Wait, what? You don't know who I am?
Sir, I don't think we met.
No, this is the last straw. Oh, this is it, isn't it? First they try to erase me as a bad guy from the podcast. Then I return. I make a grand return. A super scary... I'm on a spider's body and they don't even know who I...
I was
head of Team Helsing. I was a big bad man. I was a very scary
me,
bad
excuse
dude.
Excuse me, Barry was head of Team Helsing, and we're kind of close now. So
Don't tell me about Barry freaking Bulker, the little shinks guy. None of that from Barry Bulker. Listen, I had some good vignettes. That's some really good vignettes. If you listen to the podcast, if you actually listen to it,
has Stu been possessed by Vaughn? And Vaughn is
you,
forcing
you can
his way
shut
back
up.
In.
You can
Sorry.
Absolutely shut up.
Sorry,
I'm back.
Are you talking to me, Tom?
No, I'm the big villain, all right? I don't care who else you're fighting in this arc, all right? I'm the scary one. I'm the big bad. Okay,
well, you are now because you're some sort of like
absolutely
horrible hybrid.
I am, yeah, because I've eaten loads of birds in this roost and I've wrapped them in my web. And I'm going to eat this one. I'm going to eat this crow. Is this your crow?
Wait.
If I say no, does that mean he won't eat it?
And Vaughn locks eyes and he goes, Hunchcrow? Is that you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my sweet asses. My little Murkrow. My little crow baby. My crabby. My crabby baby crog crow. Where did you go? I lost you. I had you in it. Did I have you in an extreme ball? No. Did I? No, I...
It was like a love ball or something.
It was a love ball, yeah.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Oh, don't no. like this. Don't like... Oh. I feel like Vaughn's sudden relationship with birds being very complicated.
Oh, Crowby. No,
if you
were
that's
mine.
The most complicated thing going
I think
on
you
here.
Were mine. I'm going to say it now. Whatever we said before. He was...
I was a member of Team Helsing,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you were
I'm
mine.
Sure
you were mine. Crowby. Oh. My sweet, come to me. And he these spidery, kind of horrible tendrils like, come to me, my sweet pet. Come back to Vaughn.
Crap, absolutely not. Crowby, no.
But I've missed you. You and me, Crow. You were the one we were going to stop all the poker pounds. You bought into that, didn't you? Didn't you, Hunch Crow?
I had lots of therapy.
Oh, yes,
I had
you
one
did.
Therapy session.
One really strong therapy session. Well, it's more appearances than I got on the podcast, so, you know. And Hunchcrow flies back away from this Vaughn thing, who now,
thank
this horrible,
God.
Chimerical beast, emerges fully from the shadows, Kenny, to confront you, Hannah, and Hedrold. And yes, it is grotesque.
Boy.
It is Vaughn's head has been stitched on to a giant Ariados body, and it is shot webbing everywhere. You can see that it is wrapped up birds in webbing, and this pulsing cocoon that now sets in the middle of the room, the Vaughn creature, the Vaughn beast, scuttles towards it and picks it up with one of its spidery hands. This is my latest meal. And he unravels a little bit of the spinneret, and inside is a Decidueye, completely bold, smartlet. You know what? I feel like there's some combat coming and I might need a tasty snack to power me up. And he descends it towards his dislocated jaw.
Oh,
Kenny,
God.
What do you do?
Okay, Kenny thinks, there are a lot of things and people and Pokemon in this room that I don't know anything about, but I feel are significant. Because I don't think Kenny has any idea about smartness.
Kenny, Hedrold here. I was actually working with Team Helsing for a long time with reporter Alma. I actually have a brief on Vaughn, if you want to read it at all. It's very strong.
What? Yeah. Do you have, like, the wiki? Can I read the wiki?
The wiki.
Kenny, it's me, Hannah. I'm just saying, I'm a huge fan of the Pokemon League, and I thought you were as well, but that's Margot's ace. That's Decidueye. That's the Decidueye. No offense to Bowtie, but...
Excuse me. This is the Decidueye. And Kenny sends out Bowtie.
Decidueye.
I think Bowtie acts on instinct, realizing who this is in an instant.
It's Smartlet. This is Decidueye's arc. This isn't Kenny's arc. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's why they need to be out.
That's fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Listeners,
okay.
Decidueye, Bowtie, and Smartlet have a backstory. You can find it in
Foul Play 4. Which we recorded, what, 3.5 to 4 years ago, but is finally coming to fruition now.
With Spider-Vaughn.
As it was always inevitably going to be.
Spider-Vaughn. Here he is.
Kenny,
it was inevitable.
Hedrold and I...
If you missed the clues, you weren't paying attention.
Exactly. This has been foreshadowed since Frenzy Plant 2. Go back, listen to that.
What was the arc Vaughn died? Submission. Who evolved in that arc? Galvantula. I rest my case.
So while Kenny is reading the spark notes, Decidueye just sort of like, is it Phantom Force, the one where they like disappear?
Disappear, yeah.
Without even, Kenny doesn't even notice, but Decidueye disappears and then reappears directly in between Vaughn and Smartlet. And Vaughn sort of lowers Smartlet into Bowtie's grasp, who then is going to Phantom Force again, grabbing hold of Decidueye to take them away.
Classic D&D Misty Step going on here. Love it.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Here we go. Let's roll Create an Advantage.
Right, so 2d6. It's another 7. I am
Ooh.
Creeping through these rolls.
Does that mean Vaughn gets one as well?
That is our mechanic.
I could give you a minus one against your next roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a cleaner way of doing it. Okay.
Ali, you could. You could do that. Or you could force me where you want them.
Think of the narrative, Stu.
It was the narrative that killed me. Narrative schmarrative, I say.
They said I was an unnecessary antagonist. They said there were too many people at the head of Team Helsing. Well, look at me now!
My listeners couldn't keep up. Barry? Van? Who's next? Alma? No.
Oh, Barry had more of a backstory with Kenny. I hadn't even met Kenny. My name's Van, Kenny. My name's Van. Is that enough of a backstory for you?
Kenny's flicking through the spark notes like, is that Van with an H or an A or an M?
Oh,
or
my
an
goodness.
R?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Like, I'm going through all the V's
on the
podcast.
No, Kenny, that's the play Uncle Van, yeah. Skip one further.
No, Kenny, that's just vans. You're just looking at vehicles. Oh, the Bashmobile. Okay,
it's in the catalogue.
Yeah. It's the Wikipedia image of vans is the Bashmobile.
Okay, so Kenny, please describe Botar the Tsuchiwai and this heroic saving moment of their old rival, Smartlet the Tsuchiwai.
Tsuchiwai poofs back into existence.
Tsuchiwai.
And grabs hold of Smartlet.
Such a chicken.
And Decidui says, in Decidui's, "Don't worry, I'll save you." Phantom forces again to the other side of the room, having Phantom forced away from Varn. And I think it's Smartlet that's going to give Decidui the minus one, because this was Bowtie's rival. They land a bit skew-iff. They sort of try to land on their feet, but instead they sort of crash on
the wall. Slip on a bit of carrion.
Yeah, and Smartlet says something like, "You can evolve the Botai into a Decidui, but deep down, you still can't really do anything, can you?"
Huge news that Smartlet is Irish as well. Or is Decidui's
all
a sort of...
All Decidui's are Irish. All Decidui's are Irish, yeah.
Wait, sorry, who said that? Was that Smartlet who said
Smartlet
that?
Smartlet said that to Decidui.
Oh, gosh, so still holding a grudge. Okay.
Really choosing your times for that, Smartlet.
Fully Cocoon is like, I'm still better than you.
I'd have saved me much faster.
Might be the toxic paralytic venom talking, but you suck.
The Varn Beast roars in frustration.
This is it. My chance to wipe out the most powerful poker powered of it all. If I'm ever going to reclaim a legacy, this is it. I don't know what brought you to me. To be honest, I don't even know how I came to be. Maybe it was Shine. Probably Shine. Shine's messed up like
that. She seems like the type.
Yeah, I'd warrant probably Shine, yes, yeah. But this is my moment, and I'd be damned if I let it slip through me pincers.
Do you have a key? Fari, my name's Hannah. I don't think we've met, but do you have some kind of code or key? I just feel like we might be wasting our time. We could leave.
Sorry, I know this is significant for you, but for us, you're just sort of getting in the way. So do you have the key?
Yeah, there was a key. It was attached to one of Margot's bird Pokemon, but then I ate it, so it's in Mytilmi.
You ate the key?
I ate the key and the bird, yeah. I think they thought Margot was here, but she's definitely not here.
News just in about to live stream a digestion watch. Join me. Let's see how this goes through a spider body.
Wait. Margot's not even here.
Did you eat Margot?
No, I don't think so. I'd like to. I've got a thirst for flesh.
Oh my god. This is... Wow.
And it's moving toward human. The more we talk.
I really hope this is off the record.
Hedrold and I are going to stand back here because this feels something that adults should deal with.
What a coincidence.
I'm still feeling worried about whether or not I should live in the endless dream of the elevator shaft.
You know what? You and your fire Pokemon are probably useless against this bug.
You may want whatever key I have in me belly, but you ain't getting it, Kenny Malay.
Well, you know what? Margot may not be here, but I made a promise a long time ago that my Pokemon was going to overcome the flying gym leader. And at the moment, for some bizarre reason, that seems to be you. So bring it on, big boy. You and your many, many legs.
And as Kenny dashes towards Varn and Varn dashes towards Kenny, we cut away.
Do we delve into the mind of Stuart Clark or just leave it?
Okay. Moving on.
Stu was so desperate to play Vaughn again.
And there's nothing better than Ali vanquishing Bill Kenwright. That's all I want to see in podcast fiction.
This is what I'm this is my gift to you, Ali. My gift to you.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. That's so kind.
Yo! Champ in the making. The robotic voice blasts into life alongside a cacophonous recording of the Pokemon League main theme. This is it! You've made it all the way to the Formian League champion! Congratulations on all your hard work in reaching this point! Brandy, General Phillips, and Bash make their way through what can only be described as a multimedia walkway. Designed in every way to evoke epic scale, the trio have had to venture the shortest distance of all. The Champion's Chamber, an expansive dome not dissimilar to the Epcot Ball or the Eden Project biomes, being only a short walk from the Pokemon League Stadium. Every cunning maneuver, every twist of strategy, and yes, every defeat along the way has resulted in this moment.
Bash, this they could have paid a real voice actor to do
this. This is where you deserve to be. It's actually getting a bit Phillips. Oh, no.
You realise that it is Phillips talking.
General Phillips, you recorded this.
It was me. No, I did do this a few years ago. Yeah, I'm glad they've kept the recording, though. I sound good.
Yeah, well, OK, let's just see if we can get through it as fast as we can.
They continue their journey towards the entrance of the dome, their faces bathed in blue light as various huge LCD screens line the walls. You've seen this walk televised many times, Brandy. These screens would replay the highlights of the challenger's journey in the gyms across Formia. Now, under League lockdown, all they show is footage from various security cameras. Brutal clashes between Team Mystic and League trainers play out on loop. The space either side of the walkway suggests that ordinarily they might be packed with adoring fans, desperate for a glimpse at the prospective new champion of Formia. Their absence only serves to heighten the hollow echo of the robotic voice. But your journey is not over yet, Challenger baby. One final hurdle remains. For you must face... the champion!
Phillips, I know you voiced it, but you don't need to keep...
I'm just saying it along with it. The memory is coming back to me, all the words. Took so long to learn it. They said I didn't have to. They gave me cue cards. I threw them away. At this point in the presentation, holograms of the previous champions of Formia illuminate on pedestals around you. Tom, what does Daisy Crope's hologram say?
Truth, justice, honour. These are the mantles of the Pokemon League and the code with which we abide and will always abide. We are the League. Show us your true self.
Ali, what does Aloysius say?
Welcome. Yes, congratulations on overcoming all of your, journeys. You could have done what I did and pay your way to glory, but I guess you were too poor. So congratulations for not having enough money.
What were the other champions? Do we have another one?
Boromir or, I suppose.
Boromir, okay. Phillips stops dead. At the most recent previous champion, Boromir Draw, the hologram flickers into life. David, what does Boromir Draw say?
Sometimes not winning is the nearest we know to victory.
Behind him, the security footage of his final last stand with his Toxapex plays in grainy silence. Phillips, Bash and Brandy, you all watch the old curmudgeon fall on the security tape. And Phillips' breath catches in his throat. Oh, baby, no. Is he...
Is that real footage?
Yeah, it's coming from the field.
That looks real. Oh, Boromir, no. Boromir, buddy, no.
Sorry, Phillips, were you close with Boromir?
Yeah, we went to war together, baby. I'd sort of lost touch with him in recent years, but I served with him. And he's gone.
He looked like he went out like a real hero, though. Look, you can see on the... I don't know why they keep repeating it. That feels dark. But look, he stopped. Yeah, so all the others could get away. He seemed to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
It looks like he saved a lot of people.
I guess the old Arcanine learned some new tricks in the end. I just hope he knew that I was his... friend, you know? I hope he knew that had he not made that choice, there were people who wanted to see him again.
Sometimes Philip says that there is only one choice.
Nah, baby, you always have a choice. Phillips wipes a little tear from his eye.
Maybe we should continue onwards, Phillips.
As Bash says those words, you find yourself reaching the end of the walkway. And there's a large machine there connected to the wall of the dome. This sort of heavy-looking lock mechanism is bolted to its side, and there's a very distinctive input slot on the face of it, with the Formian Pokemon League logo proudly crowning the whole thing. "Now, challenger!" cries the robotic voice triumphantly. The pivotal lighting swings to center on Brandy in the middle of this trio. Oh. And the music starts blasting from the speakers. It's swelling to its ultimate crescendo. "It's time to present your badges."
Oh.
This won't be too bad, because obviously you got them, right?
Yeah, Brandy? All right. Here we go. Brandy, put those badges in the slot. This is it.
Unfortunately, okay, what happened is, so I've got one with me. I've got one with me. The other badges...
There are no excuses!
Could there be some
only
excuses?
Only failure!
Ooh, okay.
Nobody would have come this far to the Pokemon League Champion Chamber and not brought all their badges with them.
Hey, I've got a second badge. I've got one badge from Vipern. I didn't win it from Vipern, but I took it when she died, which sounds worse than it is. I didn't kill her, but like, can I get through with just two? Because I left the others at home.
Bash taps you on the shoulder, Brandy. Brandy.
Yeah?
It's okay. You obviously left your badges at home.
I left them at Surfloat Town with my mum. She keeps my badges in my badge drawer.
With your mum in the badge drawer, of course. So maybe...
It's a very big badge drawer.
If you'll allow it, Brandy, maybe I should just get us through this bit.
Wait, what? Have you got all eight badges?
I think me and Heron have got all the badges. We've got all of them.
So. Wait, you've got all eight badges?
We've got more than that. We've got like 20. I don't know. It was a lot.
Got 20 badges?
We've got a lot. We've got a lot of badges.
It's taken me so long to get two. And one of those, I don't even think I really would register as mine.
No, Brandy, it's okay. And again, Bash looks you in the eye. You left them at home.
I left mine at home.
You left them at home. So if you don't mind, Brandy, may I have this moment?
Yeah, yes. I'm loaning you the moment because I left my badges at home. So Brandy takes a step aside to let Badge...
Bash takes a deep breath and puts in her badges.
20 badges?
Slot.
She opens, there's
a bucket. She just pours them in like pennies into a change machine.
And the machine's like, wow, the minimum is 8. Oh my goodness, 12.
You didn't need to go
16,
this hard.
Oh my goodness, is Formia okay?
And as the last badges fall into the machine, it blasts into music and life again. And you get this trainer ID scan. Congratulations, Bash Valuten! And Bash just takes a moment to just take in the music and the lights and the swell and smile deeply to herself, and then allows Brandy to walk through first.
Yeah, and Brandy Flash. And Brandy Flash. Can it say that? Phillips, can you say it? It's in your voice anyway.
General Phillips.
General Phillips just pushes Brandy through the door.
All day in the sun, so forgive me if I like crash halfway through this podcast.
I crashed about an hour before this podcast, so
what are you guys talking about? We're just three cactuses out in the desert, okay? We just stand here and we take the heat. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing my job.
Yum yum yum. Give me that drop of water.
No, that's my drop of water. How dare you? We're sharing it out equally.
Oh, well, I've already consumed my drop, so you're going to have to find a new drop.
Oh, well, that's classic you, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's absolutely classic.
That's always the way with you.
I want Tom to read me a midsection now.
Will you give me the drop if I read the midsection?
Well, it's got to be a good one.
Well, you're in luck. Welcome to the midsection of Critical Ditto, because I have a wonderful midsection from... I believe a champion tier patron, Christy Kay. Here we go. Christy writes, firstly, I just want to say thank you and congrats for making such a fun podcast.
Fun podcast?
Such a fun podcast. I listen at work and have had to physically stop myself from gasping, choking and laughing out loud. You've at all actually inspired me to start up a Pokemon RPG with some of my friends. Well, that is
amazing.
The greatest compliment. As for the midsection character, their idea is a young boy, maybe about 10, I believe that's 10 years old, not 10 young boys. His hair is always messy. He never seems to blink, and his origins are mysterious at best. Kenny?
I was going to say, we've done this. We've done this character for about 80 episodes.
His partner Pokemon, or really more like his guardian while he's out and about, is Kling Klang. This boy, who just calls himself Don't Ask, has issues with walking as he has an ankle that broke and healed funny when he was little. And so he sits on the slowly spinning edge of the outer ring of his Kling Klang. He's essentially immune to motion sickness at this point. If someone approaches him to talk, or for whatever reason, and Kling Klang doesn't approve of them, he will just keep spinning, forcing the person to try and talk to Don't Ask to either run around in circles to keep face to face with him, or listen as Don't Ask only speaks when they can see the new person. Most convos go like, "Trainer, hi, I'm Alfredo, and I'm looking for the Pokemon Center. Which way is the quickest?" Don't Ask, spinning in circles while sitting on his BFF. "You should turn left, tree, shake, Jigglypuff, goes 8 minutes. Trainer, maybe a little dizzy just watching, says, "Okay, thanks." What a great scene, Christy.
We've been given a scenario.
What a great scene.
Can I ask, how big is this Kling Klang, like, in this situation? This Kling Klang must be, like, 4 foot wide, 6 foot, 12 foot. Like, what are we talking here?
How big is a Kling Klang normally? I'm going to Google that.
Ali, that's your job. Google Kling Klang. So that's Don't Ask.
Kling Klang is 2 feet. Normally.
Well, I think
so
we've got
to be a big one.
We've got to times that by 10 to 20 feet at this point.
20 feet!
I think it's a massive Kling Klang.
That could take over the world. 20 feet!
Yeah, spinning really fast. I think I'm wondering if this Kling Klang used to be in like a playground as like the spinning merry-go-round style thing that you could sit on. And that's where Kling Klang and this child became best friends, really, just sit on the Kling Klang all day, every day, and suddenly realise that Kling Klang was trapped as this merry-go-round, yeah, and released Kling Klang, and Kling Klang therefore became the guardian. But here's my question to you. Who trapped Kling Klang in the evil playground of prisoner Pokemon?
After his experience in the daycare cart with those naughty children, the Mr. Rhyme,
okay,
from the Nidorian Express. Yeah. Let's not forget, is part of the crucial side plot, which was to resurrect Arceus using the
all of the type plates. I wonder, you know, we could check in and see how Mr. Rhyme's doing on the old type plates. I think they're going okay, but they're obviously, did they use the park to sort of lure children in to check to see if there were more type plates who were children?
I think that's the only logical conclusion we can come to.
Okay, great. So he trapped the Kling Klang in, sort of was testing children to see if they were type plates, and this little boy, Don't Ask. Don't Ask is an interesting...
Is Don't Ask a Pokemon? And he just says Don't Ask all the time.
Oh, what? You think the boy is Don't Ask?
Imagine the scene, Tom. Go Trainer, on. Hello, do you have a type plate? Don't Ask.
So this kid's only saying Don't Ask. But so he's like the anti-church here. This is the anti of asking questions.
Whoa,
saying Don't Ask. Don't get involved. Don't try and test where you're from. So maybe I think this is the child of a fundamentalist church member who's always asking questions all the time. And so now this child sort of just wants to accept what life puts in front of him. Life put a Kling Klang in front of him who was willing to protect him better than his parents at the church.
Don't you have to give up your child?
You do.
To become a church member?
You do.
That's correct. Oh my goodness. So that's what happened with Don't Ask. Love that. Oh, it links so nicely. So Don't Ask, child of a disgruntled church member. Thank you to Christy Kay for their brilliant midsection. And if you would like to have your midsection read out, you can contact us at criticaldetail@gmail.com, or you can sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/criticalditto, where you can skip the entire queue for midsection characters, locations, people and places.
That was an excellent midsection.
Thank you. So do I get my drop?
No. I've got to give my drop to the new guy who rocked up halfway through the midsection. And...
Oh, come on! Yeah, have never received... Oh, okay.
No, you don't get your drop. New guy?
No, don't worry.
Take the drop.
Don't worry.
I hate the new guy already.
That's their cactus name.
It's Ariados.
And we enter the the Champion's Chamber, the final room of the Pokemon League. Tom, how is this room decked out? It's a big old Epcot dome. It's a big old ball. What is the first thing you notice about this room?
On the dome ceiling, it's got similar, rather than seeing, obviously we saw on the security camera sort of live war footage, this is all just like Gary Smoke-based moments that have happened, including a clip of Brandy doing some cheerleading in one of his first gym battles that he did. But they're all projected on top of this lovely glistening dome.
Is it footage of that, Tom, or is it almost like Sistine Chapel? Has Gary had it commissioned?
I think he's had it commissioned. I think it's almost painted.
I actually think there's someone still working on it. They've been doing it since Gary arrived. There's a Smeargle just attached by rope and a feeding tube, and they're just constantly painting pictures.
The first one he did was of Gary, where he has 10 abs.
Smeargle. Smeargle.
More abs.
Smeargle. Smeargle.
Another ab.
And another one.
I've run out of ab paint.
The abs are now on Gary's leg. He's got like leg abs.
Do you know what? Just draw the ab and then put my face on it.
The rest of the dome basically has this giant floating pedestal in the middle, set out like a futuristic tech football field with a giant Pokeball in the middle. It's hovering on unseen mechanisms and technology, and around the side of the dome is obviously intense seating arrangements and floodlights. A giant screen to the back wall. The seating is unfortunately empty at this moment. However, could Dan Nouncer be there? Could Dan Nouncer be announcing this match?
He was narrating the Smeagol painting. As you can see, another ab has been attached to our peerless leader. A new challenger approaches! I am so grateful. Wow, have I been bored.
So okay, Dan Nouncer is on retainer to just stay in Gary Smoke's room and commentate on anything that happens.
I'm coming to you from my secret base where I'm safe from all bad things. But I'm live!
He was a prepper. He was a prepper. He's got a bunker,
he's in a bunker
somewhere.
You all laughed at me. But now who's okay, huh?
Gary's on a throne. Is he in a hot tub?
Is it a hot tub throne?
Actually, yes, it's a hot tub throne. And he's on a sort of Yu-Gi-Oh! Pedestal at the other end of the room.
He loves that show.
Obviously topless, arms out, in the bubble chamber. And he looks up and he removes the tanning goggles that he has attached to his face.
Brandy.
You made it. Love that, Stu.
Yes, you always say the same thing for 20 years. Literally, that's all you say.
I have to say, I didn't expect any challengers at this time, but if it was going to be anyone, it would be you.
Look at you, sat here, expecting challengers to the Pokemon League while there's a war happening outside. That's so you, Gary.
I have a job. I'm here for a reason.
Gary, I can't hear what you're saying, but apparently your new challenger is someone called Bashfalutin.
Wait, what?
That's what's coming up on the computer.
Gary, ignore it. Ignore it.
Bashfalutin.
It's a typo. It's a typo.
All Pokemon badges. Wow. We haven't had one of those ever. She might actually
put up a bit of a fight.
Well, it's me, so...
Well, how many badges did you get?
I got... How many did it say Bashfalutin got, Dan?
I can't hear you, but I'm seeing here 20 badges.
There
were only 16 gyms, so...
Bash created 4 gyms just to win them?
Yeah, I perhaps didn't get in the usual way. I've been actually doing important work, Gary. Unlike you, drawing abs on the ceiling.
Smeargle's like, this is important work. What are you saying?
You know what, Smeargle? You're right. This is important work, and mine is important work, too. You have a lot of nerve showing your face here, especially after what happened on that train. The fact that you took my Lopunny from me.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot of nerve.
Right, Gary, I feel like I'm being gaslit here. This is you're changing history in a big way.
No, you stole it from me, okay? That is my Pokemon. It's still in my Pokeball, I think, if you check it. You're in my domain. I am the Pokemon champion. And yeah, maybe I didn't take that role seriously in the past. I'll admit that. Maybe I was too hung up on the babes. Maybe I was too hung up on the beach parties and the lifestyle and the advertisements. And yes, Smeargle, on the apps. But that stops today, because I've been given a mission. And I've realized that I don't have anything else in this world except this position. And if I lose it, and if this league falls, then I got nothing. Okay?
Gary.
I got nothing. Sure as heck don't have you, do I? So you damn well better be prepared for battle, Brandy Flesh. Because this key
that I've been told to guard ain't going nowhere, because I am the champion of Formia. And by Arceus, that's going to mean something now.
Gary, I really don't have time to stroke your ego, because there is a war out there and you need to give me that key now. And if you won't, I will just have to beat you into the ground and become the Pokemon champion myself.
Just try it, cheerleader. Go, Tyrantrum! Bum, 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 okay. Bum, bum. I'm only going to score this now.
Is that the noise that Tyrantrum makes that comes out? It doesn't actually say Tyrantrum.
Tyrantrum just West Side Stories out of the Pokeball.
I always say, I hated Tyrantrum the most. All right, go. Melmetal. Flower.
Melmetal.
Okay, I think we've got time for one volley. Tyrantrum's coming at you with an earthquake. It's going to leap out the Pokeball and slam down onto that stadium floor and try and knock Melmetal out before it even touches the floor of the stadium.
Says Dan Nouncer. Don't worry, Stuart, I got you. Don't worry.
Brandy's got this weird shot of adrenaline. This sort of chill has like rushed up her spine as kind of, even though there's no one in the stadium, Dan Nouncer's here. It all feels like a championship match. It's suddenly like become this big deal that she sort of wasn't expecting.
Mate, should we put some hologram fans in as well? Seeing as we've had holograms in the approach.
Fine.
Dan Nouncer, press the button. press the COVID crowd button.
Everyone's got their cardboard cutouts.
Did any of you ever see any NBA footage during COVID where they had like the faces of the people watching on FaceTime?
Maybe that's cooler. Maybe Dan has a way of all the people who are in like bunkers in Tapu Dhabi, they suddenly can get like a stream going.
Could we have hologram versions of the cheerleaders as they were in Gary's day, just on the edge of the arena, just cheering on Gary?
Yes.
Like all of Brandy's former friends.
Kalandi, Shandy, Mark, everyone is there doing their hologram cheerleading. So, Brandy, as these two Pokemon come out and you prepare your first move to counter this earthquake, suddenly the stadium illuminates as these holograms slash screen version of so many people around Formia ignites into life. All these people, these terrified people crouched in bunkers, desperately trying to avoid the conflict that's happening above ground, suddenly get this notification. Dan Nouncer has started streaming. What's going on?
There's a championship match.
There's a championship match happening right now, and obviously no one's got anything else going on.
We interrupt this war to bring you a special
emergency
announcement.
War broadcast to bring you an emergency Pokemon battle.
That is so Formia.
Suddenly half the region is tuning in to this championship battle match, and the stakes have never been higher.
Brandy looks around and suddenly she starts glowing as you do, like just so proud in a way and feeling a real buzz of adrenaline, like this is exactly what she wanted. And even though she's, you know, we're at war, that suddenly seems to just melt to the back of her mind, and suddenly she's just in this moment, a la Hannah in the elevator. Wow, what a dream to be here, to be doing this. Whispers to herself, not gonna let you down, Mum. Melmetal! Let's start defensively. Acid armor.
Melmetal.
Melmetal is going to use acid armor in defense. This is it, Gary. I've come a long way. I'm not just that cheerleader anymore. I've become something stronger, and I'm going to beat you. There's no other way to put this. It's over for you. I will become the Pokemon champion, and I'm going to prove it right here. Melmetal, acid armor.
Roll, create an advantage.
Melmetal's speed is 0. And I rolled a 5. So there we go. Good start.
Oh, no, no, that good speech.
Oh, no,
the speech.
The big speech.
Big speech, classic. I love the idea. There's loads of little girls at home tuning in about, wow, I love this girl. Oh, she's crap. Oh, no. Oh, she's terrible.
Every single person at home goes, should he use pound?
Should he use pound? Yes. Why have they left Lopunny on the bench? Their ace.
This is a champion match. I'm going to say it's a stage 4 Tyrantrum.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Stage 4. What is Melmetal? A stage 3?
Melmetal is a stage 3.
So it's 4 plus 1, so 5. And it's super effective. So it's 6 plus the D4. Here we go.
6 plus the D4.
Oh, it's 3. Okay, so I'm going to do 9 damage.
9 damage.
I can tell you that Melmetal...
It's not got 9. I thought it might have had 8.
Tom, here we go. I'm going to give you an offer, because this is something I'm going to do going forward in this final arc now.
Oh, God, what?
Since I got Ali's fail rolled forward, I'm like, that's tasty. I want that. So, Tom, I could faint your Melmetal now, or you could offer me your fail, and I could take it forward, and we could say that Melmetal miraculously dodges the attack. What would you like to do?
Oh, God, so I could either have my fail...
Melmetal either goes down right now, or the fail comes to me.
Oh...
Nanneth is about to touch that earthquake.
They're about to touch the earthquake. Oh, this is horrible. No. Melmetal can go down.
Last chance.
Do you know what? Melmetal is going to go down because I think it's quite funny. And I want to hear what Gary says after one-shotting my Melmetal.
Okay, so Melmetal careens towards the ground, but unfortunately this earthquake is just too strong. This is Tyrantrum, an absolute monstrous Pokemon, and the stadium floor rips. Jagged shards of glass and rock come up through this hovering holographic stadium floor, and Melmetal just crumples and spins, the momentum unable to cushion anything of the blow as it crashes into a heap and melts slightly, the mercury body just falling out into the cracks of the earthquake floor.
Flower!
Seriously? Is that the best you've got? Don't tell me you came all this way to crumple like some melty ice cream. That's right.
That's right.
I haven't had to try for a long time, okay? I'm working up to it. It's gonna get better.
I got a bit nervous there, Gary. I'm just warming up. Prepare to get smoked. Go! Snorleone with a cigar, with a puff of smoke.
Match next.
On the live stream, Snorleone's cigar is censored.
It's a lollipop.
Yeah. Right, we cut away. Theo, if Kenny's gone up and Brandy's gone across, Theo, you're going down.
Classic Theo, am I right? Hey.
See that on a few toilet doors.
Looking for the generator room, right?
Yeah.
I would assume it's under the Pokemon League main stadium / champion dome. Like, just generally down.
If Kenny falls through the floor, he will meet Brandy and then continues to fall, he will then meet Theo.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's a verticality to our arc at the moment, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Theo, how are you reaching this electrical generator room?
With me, Barnaby Timms, that's who.
How has Barnaby made this journey insufferable?
Barnaby sensed that Theo's a bit down. Oh, Theo, wait one moment.
It's me, Heron. Theo, what's going on? What is he doing? He's acting odd, and not like regular Barnaby odd, just like odd.
You
what's
see
going
Barnaby
on?
in the shadows.
Are you also a Zoroark?
I am indeed, and you see Barnaby Timms move his hand towards you, and this sort of fur appears. Barnaby's like, I'm not really. That's just part of my fur jacket. I thought it would be a fun way to break the ice, break the tension.
Theo picks Barnaby up by the scruff of his shirt, slams him against the wall, and is like, listen here, you little twerp.
Oh.
We are in the epilogue of a war. I guess you didn't talk to your friend Hedgerald about what happened when he got in the way when I tried to awaken a Genesex machine, but it didn't end well for him, and it's not going to end well for you.
Okay.
So why don't you just shut up, make me an outfit, and stay here until I need you, all right?
Right. And then Barnaby sits on his sort of wheelchair, which has a sewing machine attached to it, and is wheeling along next to you sewing.
Is it even an arc if Theo hasn't threatened a child?
Barnaby deserved it there.
Barnaby's 43.
Barnaby's 43?
Yeah, Barnaby's really old.
In my mind, Barnaby is now Angela Lansbury in A Little Night Music.
Okay, so you reach the generator room. Have you dug down or have you found like an access shaft?
I think there's been like a series of like heavy metal doors, and Medicham has either confusioned them open or high jump kicked them open.
Medicham!
There were a series of bins that we had to look under to flip some switches. It was really gross.
There was also an ice room with some very conveniently placed rocks for yourself.
Theo had the most ridiculously complicated gym puzzle to solve.
But Theo secretly loved all of them. Theo was like, one of my dissertations was a gym puzzle, so this is great.
Heron was really stumped at the Spot the Difference one. I was like, well, there's a hiker in one, but not in the other. I don't understand. It's too simple. There must be more. There must be more to this.
Okay, so you reach the generator room and push open this heavy metallic door. Which has danger, high voltage, all this, that, like electrode signs with big electric bolts through them being like, don't come in here. Whatever you do, this is bad. Don't do this. But Theo, you ignore them and you push through with your
classic,
with Heron and Barnaby, and you find the generator room, and it hums with this
decibel deafening electrical pulse. And there's this amazing sci-fi generator in the middle. It's spinning, it's like a dynamo, there's sparks coming off it. You know, it's powering the whole Pokemon League, man. This is a huge thing. And attached
the dynamo
to it,
dynamo.
There's
nice.
Dynamo. The Dynamo are swimming around inside it. Actually, yeah, I was going to say that it was powered by Voltorbs, but no, it's not. It's powered by Dynamos as they just swim through the air. And even as you enter the room, you have to sort of duck and weave and dodge as these Dynamo are buzzing around. And obviously, this huge electrical generator is what catches your attention first. But across the room, you see Tyler, Theo. And Tyler is not alone. Tyler has a few scientists around them, a gaggle of scientists. And they have a few extreme ball Pokemon on the floor, these blue-eyed Pokemon that are comatosed on the floor. And Tyler seems to be ordering frantically for these scientists to try and revive these Pokemon, trying to, you know, shock them back into life, find something that can bring these Pokemon back into a fighting spirit. Come on, what have you tried? What have you tried? Two scientists, come here. What have you tried?
I'm sorry, Tyler, but there's nothing.
I don't want excuses. Tyler, I don't want them.
They're brain dead, Tyler.
They can't be brain dead.
They are brain dead.
This is our asset. Do you understand? This is our asset.
I warned you of this. The extreme balls manipulate the brain's electrical impulses, and now there's no electrical impulses going to the brain.
I don't want to hear it. Get out. You, other scientists, positive scientists, come here.
Hello.
Tell me what I want to know. How are we going to fix this?
I'm still licking it and hoping the saliva will work. Positive thoughts, positive vibes.
You are men of science. You are scientists.
Of science.
I am a woman,
Not a lick-a-tongue poke-powered.
You are people of science. You put poke-powers in extreme balls. You could do this.
We did, and I feel very good about that, and I do not feel any guilt.
I think one of you got killed, didn't you? Who died? One of you.
Not either of us.
No.
That was our friend.
That would be me. I died.
They died.
That would be me.
There's someone with a psychic hole in their chest. Just like, well, not my day, huh?
We're only being positive, Tyler, and we think we could, with enough time, revive the Pokemon, maybe.
Yes, with time, yeah.
If you may have to release the Pokemon from the Extreme Ball hold.
Unacceptable. And Tyler grabs the scientist by the scruff of the neck.
Yes, you're right.
Theo style.
You understand,
this is our only asset. This is all we have left. This is our one bargaining chip. Once the new world comes into being, you understand that we cannot let them go.
Nope.
Keep trying things.
I'll lick it again.
Tyler goes to leave the scientists and finds themselves seeing Theo.
Well, hello there.
I know you. How do I know you?
Hi, I'm Heron. You have met me before when I did that promo. Oh, weren't talking to me. We're talking to the...
You became absolutely irrelevant the minute I released your Pokemon and took them into my extreme ball.
Barnaby Timms, you must know the Timms family.
Oh, actually, no, I get your clothes. Yeah.
Yes. So you're looking very good. I'm sorry. I've been
sewing clothes for him.
Barnaby, did you make my scarf?
I did.
That covers half my face and is my one look.
Your one look. Yes, that was me, Barnaby Timms.
You duplicitous little weasel.
Wait, what?
You duplicitous little weasel.
I'm sorry, Theo. I can't just make one item of clothing for you once every month. I've got to do more.
I'm paying you enough per diem points. You don't need to work with the enemy, cavort with the devil over here.
This was before Tyler. He became evil. He's had the scarf since he was, what, a baby? I knitted it for you when you were a baby. I was there at your birth. I delivered you. I was the doctor who delivered you in my previous life.
Tyler was backing away as if they've got some kind of escape plan in mind.
Tyler, stay here. You may remember me from the time that we fought in that beach house in Surfloat Town.
That's you. Yeah, we sparred in Surfloat.
Yeah, I'm here for one thing and one thing only. I need a key. We need to get to the Sephiroth tree, and we know that is protected behind a door with three keys that the Elite Three still have, and you have one of them.
And we also need you to release all the Extreme Ball Pokemon as well, Theo.
Yeah. Sure.
All of the Extreme Ball Pokemon powers, which was another reason why we're here. So actually, you say we're here for one thing and one thing only. We're here for three things and three things only.
Guys, I don't really know if you've heard how bargaining works, but it's really helpful to not overload at the start, but I do respect.
Okay.
I respect the morality here. I do respect it.
Oh, you were doing a
thank you, Heron. Barnaby, shut up.
Yeah.
Understood.
I see what this is. Your church, aren't you? Your church of Slarsla. I remember.
You were
wearing the robes. We were wearing the robes when we sparred.
Oh, Tyler. I am the church now.
Oh my God. Braggy Theo, here it is.
I am the church now. You went full Walter White there.
Not a dissimilar character.
Anyone else find that drug dealer strangely attractive? That's a famous Walter White line.
Tyler eyes you up and down, Theo, sees your new robes. So I see you've risen far, have you? Well, so have I. I'm now running the Pokemon League. This is my place. And unlike you, unlike this church that seeks to sit neutral in the middle ground and not take things into their own hands, not save people when they need to be saved, I'm doing something. I'm taking action. And I'll be damned if I let you get in the way of it.
Well, Tyler, that would be a really wonderful argument you just made there about the former neutral church, but I just killed their god and now I'm here in front of you, so I think we can say the church is doing something now.
Be that as it may, I wiped the floor with you once, I can do it again.
Now, Tyler, I'm happy to go into a battle with you, but also, I'm a little bit more than just brawn. I've also got brains, and I think you have brains too. And I've got a bargain for you that I'd like to make, if I may.
Roll plus charm.
It's a one and a three. It's a four.
Oh, God.
You know the offer I'm going to make you, David.
No, let's take the fail.
Take the fail now, right. In that case. Tyler is going to grab one of the dynamos flying in midair with a glove. Tyler has an electric-proof glove on one hand and hurls...
So otherwise known as a rubber glove, Stu. A
marigold. Tyler has a marigold. And hurls the dynamo at you. Theo, which one of your Pokemon is going to take the hit?
Oh, Jason the Combi. Jason the Combi is going to take the hit.
Wow. He'd like to pretend it was a tough decision. It wasn't.
It's get rid of that flying type.
Okay, I'm going to feint Jason the Combi then. Jason the Combi is going to
absolutely this, correct.
Yeah, Jason the Combi is going to take this electric wild charge. It's like some kind of like thunderbolt vault. Actually, no, it's a vault switch. So basically, Tyler hurls the dynamo and then sprints and gets on a glider. Tyler has a goblin glider.
A goblin glider?
Yeah, he's got a fan glider, just like Tears of the Kingdom, with a steering stick. And he's going to disappear into a drainage tunnel. And he's grabbed a few dynamo to go with him, and he's disappearing into that tunnel. Jason the Combi takes this electric hit, which is obviously heading straight towards your face, Theo, before... Jason takes it right in front of your face, Theo. Your face is illuminated yellow and black as you see this poor little Combi taking the blast in front of you. And he flops back into his little bandolier ball, blackened and buzzed. And you see Tyler escaping into this tunnel. Theo, what do you do?
We need to ultra-hand a couple of fans to another glider, mate.
It's going to take a while. Unless you've got it on auto-build.
One of the fans is at a slightly askew angle. So
it's going to take ages.
Yeah. So Tyler's going down So this drainage pipe, look, it's pretty big then, if it's got
it's almost like those sewers that we were talking about in the war stories.
One of the scientists says, it's interesting that we're operating in science with an open drainage pipe that's so big, like right here. Like, you think we could go into somewhere that's slightly more sterile when we're trying to revive the Pokemon.
There's definitely a lab upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely someone with computers rather than just dynamo.
Well, sure, but how else is the electricity going to get to the rest of the Pokemon League? It's obviously through the drains.
Of course, it's the drains.
Do you know nothing about science?
Yeah, there's drains on the bottom and wires on the top. Thank you, scientists.
Exactly.
Big black wires. Yeah.
It's a full watery drainage. There's water in the pipe. I'm going to say that Theo's going to use the Poochena to surf after Tyler.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's say that obviously Tyler's got a good head of speed and is getting away. So Theo, I'm going to make you roll to see how you catch up with Tyler on the Poochena.
Okay.
Are Heron and Barnaby there too, or are they being left in the generator room? I always feel like Theo moves so quick and gets on the Poochena.
Yeah, Theo's moving fast. Theo has decided to attach... Slowpoke is clinging onto the back of the Poochena and is using their tail as a motorboat propeller to get us moving faster.
Aquatail, very nice.
That's so cute.
Roll, I guess, create an advantage for Poochena then. It's got a zero in speed.
I'm going to be honest with all of you lads. Theo's not got a fast team.
This is ironic, isn't it? Considering Theo's whole original battle strategy was to do with create an advantage kind of style stuff.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you rip Togekiss from the team, man. This is it.
Yeah, when I ripped Togekiss from the team. Yes, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Like, we may be a flat zero, but I did roll a 4 and a 5 for a nice 9.
Oh, so nice. So Stu gets one as well.
That's interesting. All right. So you catch up, but the complication is Tyler has sent a Pokemon onto your boat. Basically, it's almost like two hopper boats and a glider. You're in the water, Tyler's in the air, and he's thrown a Pokemon onto your little boat to disrupt. Is it?
It's got to be Elekid.
It's got to be Elekid, right?
Like, there's no other Pokemon, right, that makes sense for that kind of mission.
What is Elekid doing to sabotage Theo in this moment?
Vaping into Theo's face.
Okay, so Theo, you're going to take a minus... You're going to take a minus one because you've got vape smoke all in your lungs and your face.
Elekid.
Oh, Elekid is coming at you now, Theo, with an attack, with a thunder punch to try and actually knock you down. So, Theo, how are you responding? Is there a Pokemon that's going to come out and help you in this chase battle?
Theo's like, this is point blank. Theo needs to just, like, get some space. And even though Theo knows this probably won't work well in the long term, Theo's still got two extreme balls. And Theo's just going to throw one at Elekid.
Theo in the extreme ball game. Okay. Theo, roll Act Under Pressure.
That's cool. Okay.
That's cool. So it turns to sharp. Get in. It's a 6 and a 1 plus a 3 for a 10.
Oh, wait. We didn't apply the minus 1, did we?
Did you? Oh, yeah. It's a minus 1.
We didn't.
So mixed success.
It happens. It works.
Okay, it still happens. I'll tell you the disadvantage after. So resolve this capture.
So Theo, you know, we're in point blank range. There has just been a vape blown in Theo's face. When Elekid is going in for a thunder punch, that is way too... Like, there's no time to send out Barbaracle onto this Puchinabo-based boat. There's no option. So Theo, just quick, immediate gut instinct, grabs this extreme ball from the bandolier and throws it at Elekid, who, with a look of betrayal and poetry, is zipped up into this ball.
Elekid!
Tyler glances backwards, the wind whipping at their scarf, and sees Elekid getting sucked into this extreme ball. And the extreme ball, I guess, disappearing into the water as you're rushing off?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Elekid, no! And then grits their teeth beneath the scarf. And the disadvantage, I will say now, Theo, is that Tyler spots there is an entry vent above them towards the sky above and immediately pulls upwards on the steering stick and takes the fan upwards, spinning up through this ventilation shaft and into the night sky above the sewage drain. Theo, so Tyler once again is getting away into the sky above. What do you do?
Puchayena did learn all the HMs. So.
Puchayena did learn all the HMs.
Puchayena, fly.
Puchayena!
I guess it's roll for Puchayena again. So it's another flat 0 to get yourself up into the sky to match Tyler.
I got a 1 and a 5 for a 6.
Oh!
Offers there, David.
I mean, what do I... Like, narratively, what is interesting if this doesn't happen? So I'm going to let you take the fail. Because I have to follow Tyler.
Thank you very much. Two of the three I now have. Excellent. In that case, David, please describe Puchayena epically climbing into the skies.
And catching up with Tyler, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To make this ascent as powerful as it is, we cut to Tyler, who is just, you know, has managed this ascent.
I've lost him.
Star Wars style, like, navigated perfectly up this series of, like, intricate tunnels. And there's like a period of pause. This is the silence over the arena. And he really, for the first moment, is experiencing quiet and calm since the start of this entire Pokemon League event happened. And then, screaming out of the exact same flume that he just emerged from.
Is it a TIE fighter scream?
It's a full TIE fighter scream. Emerging with full sort of... And I'm going to say that, like, it's not something that we're going to see very often, but, like, Theo has managed a few powders back on that candle and it has conjured enormous Venomoth wings over this Puchayena, who is now sort of like flapping Mothra style in the air.
Tyler sees you, have joined him in the sky. The sky's above the Pokemon League this dark night. But interestingly, when Kenny, you were looking out onto the moonlit night earlier in Margo's Roost, it was a clear night. Puchayena, Theo, as you begin to ascend towards Tyler and Tyler sees you coming, their brows furrowing, his face turning into a wicked grimace. Clouds start to appear in the sky, start to swirl. Dark, black storm clouds start to appear. And Tyler says, Theo, you don't know what you're doing. Just leave me alone. I have the region's best interests at heart.
Tyler, I've seen what you've been doing. I've seen what you've done to those extreme ball Pokemon. Nobody could have the best interests of this region at heart when you are making Pokemon brain dead just to defend yourselves.
She's already won. She has already won. All we can do is make the best of what's left.
The only way we can win is if you let me into the Sephiroth tree.
No. Come to me. Zapdos.
Oh.
And the clouds start to coalesce in the skies above you. Suddenly, Theo, you find yourself within the storm cloud as it joins together into this incredible tempest around you. And this shadow appears within the clouds. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Thunder blasts around you. And as this winged yellow beast appears behind Tyler, we'll end it there.
Dash!
There we go. We're cutting away. This is a multi-episode fight, as it should be. We're at the Elite Three. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for all the characters. Hello, it's Stuart. I'm editing this one. I have edited. We're in past tense now. And I hope you enjoyed it. Big thanks to everyone, always, of course. Firstly, to Junichi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri for creating Pokemon. We are not affiliated with Pokemon. We're simply a fan-made podcast, and we're not for profit, so don't worry about any of that. Thank you to Glitch X City and Braxton Burks and Materia Collective for providing some of the music, as well as to Epidemic Sounds for the rest of the incidental music and the sound effects that we have used. Thank you, of course, to Michael Sands, the creator of Pocket Monster of the Week, on which our game is based, Pocket Monster of the Week. And thank you to our patrons, our producers, who are keeping the lights on here at Critical Ditto Towers. Thank you to a brand new patron, Mew. Mew, we've got Mew. We just had a check under the truck. 151, let's go, baby. Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Glider, Rosie Skies Ahead, Christy, Mega Noodle, Zachary Turing, Elena Michailov, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Mark Smith, Brad Demondowker, Mike Cabbages, Dr. Rani, Jurembi's Mum, Alex W., Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Jibbers, Heather Elsnell, Betsy Lewinley, Jaris Jakowski, Polkadash55, Ellie Lieberman, Jurembi, Carrie Morrison, Scott M., Dr. Megaman PhD, Kaiko Pink Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Josh Anderson, Force Majeure, Cranic Creations, Eric Eichinger, Millamoy, Ginny Boss, and Alastair Collinson. Thank you so, so much for your continued support. Honestly, it just... this wouldn't be happening without you. You are helping so much, helping us with editing and with production costs and all sorts of weird things that you just don't really think about with an indie podcast, but that eat it up. It eats up. So thank you. Finally, thank you to Tom, David and Ali for playing with me and for being wonderful improv partners. Join us next time as these fights continue and the stakes get higher and higher and higher. They're only going to build from here, and I know you're going to love it. Remember, adventure is out there. You just have to step in the tall grass. You want to keep snail intro? I think we can do better.
I think we could do better than snail.
I feel like you've not met us. That you think we can do better than snail. Okay, well, let's have a go.